Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and happy Sunday. I hope it's going well
happy
for
Sunday.
You so far. Welcome to our regular Q&A session.
Absolutely.
Matt, shall I read the first question?
Sure.
It's from Olivier in France.
Hello. Bonjour.
The SNP needs Tory governments to push left of centre voters towards the idea of independence. Should Labour adopt the following phrase at the next general election? Vote SNP, get Tory.
Well, it's a good question because it's certainly has been true that the SNP thrives under Tory governments. The exception, I suppose, to the principle was when Ruth Davidson, now in the Lords, was leader of the Scottish Tories in Scotland, and it looked like there might be a realignment, but that's not the case anymore. I mean, to the point that Olivier raises, Labour needs to pick up a fair number of seats. It's only got two at the moment, Edinburgh
yeah.
South and Rutherglen and Hamilton West, which it won in a by-election in, I think, October with a 20% swing. And I guess there are 73 seats in the Commons from Scotland. It'd be disappointing for Starmer if he didn't get 20 plus. He needs a breakthrough
yeah.
in Scotland
yeah.
To take the heat off the reliance upon England.
Yeah. Well, also just to get over the line, doesn't he?
Yeah. the line. Yeah. I mean, it's such a big swing. So
yeah.
So yeah, absolutely. And I think they might, whether Labour will adopt that as an official slogan, I don't know, but certainly on the doorstep, it'll be,
yeah.
If you get wrote SNP, you'll get the Tories.
I don't think, definitely the issue, the sort of heat of independence seems to have diminished a little bit. Perhaps we can hear from some of our Scottish listeners.
Very interested to hear that.
But, and I'm sure there are, within big communities, it's still as vehement as ever was. But I do think it's probably, the cost of living and all the scandals around the SNP have probably taken their toll a little bit.
Very much so. And I think that it's one of those moments where, UK politics will be probably the first issue.
Yeah, yeah.
But Labour has to make that happen. I mean,
they'll
have to devote quite a lot of resource to that.
Terrific. Thank you, Olivier.
Okay, really enjoyed your discussion about the post office scandal. Thank you. The thought I kept coming back to was, where was the trade union in all of this? Shocking that the sub-postmasters were not represented. Steph on Spotify. Thanks so much, Steph.
Yeah. Well, where were they?
It's a very good question. I mean, I suppose underpinning it is the fact that the National Federation of Sub-Postmasters is quite a weak body when you compare it to the Communication Workers Union. It doesn't have much muscle.
Yeah.
And the noble exception to this was that in, I think, 2008 or 9, Michael Rudkin, who was at the time the chair of the Federation, made the famous visit to Fujitsu's headquarters and worked out that they were secretly altering the accounts of the sub-postmasters in Horizon. So there was some representation there. But the truth is that Alan Bates, the famous Alan Bates, as played by Toby Jones in the Mr. Bates versus the Post Office mega-series, wouldn't have had to form his own alliance, Justice for Sub-Postmasters Alliance, if the Federation had been doing what it did. And
was that the scene? Was that the guy in the drama who did show up and was initially abused, but then told his own story?
I mean, the story, there are so many angles to this story, as we know, but it was actually a kind of object lesson in how difficult it can be if people have no union or organized labor movement to go to. And they felt, you know, when Bates got them all together, they were all amazed to discover that they'd had the same experiences. Now, that it shouldn't have taken one extraordinary individual to do that.
That
should have been a union job.
The iniquity that still strikes me as worth hammering home again and again and again is that everything seems to have been pinned on Paula Vernels and her period.
Yes.
But this started a long time before she came into power. And, you know, I'm sure it will all come out in the wash eventually. Hopefully people don't get bored of it, as people tend to get bored of big issues. You know, suddenly it's the major issue.
I think
issue
Alan Bates will prevent us from getting bored.
I hope so. But I think there's the wrongdoing. If we're going to learn anything about it, it's not just about kind of prosecuting failure and mistakes and corporate like hostility towards its employees. We've got to try and learn something about how these seeds take hold.
Yes.
You know, and the seeds took hold a long time before Paula Vernels got
they
her hands
did,
on
and,
the
and they were they weren't party political. And we can argue, and I think we should, that you know, this government that's been in power now for 14 years should have done something a lot sooner.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, it was set in place by John Major's government, implemented by Blairs and Browns. So it, you know, this is a murder on the Orient Express, as I think we said on an earlier podcast. And I think that that's part of it. But also, as I wrote in the New European this week, that it is incredibly important to start looking in a very kind of ruthless and clear-minded way at the whole culture of outsourcing, the way that we give these big companies, you know, that Fujitsu, who in front of the business select committee in the Commons this week, finally sort of admitted that, yes, the technology had all these glitches from the start, and they're very sorry, and they're going to pay up some money.
Well, I thought that was impressive, actually.
Yes, it was, but four people have killed themselves, 236 people have gone to prison. I mean, all this was known by them more than 25 years ago.
Just to clarify, what I thought was impressive was his use of the phrase a moral obligation.
Yeah, no,
because
better late than never.
Yeah, but he's absolutely right. He has got a moral obligation, but it's impressive in the sense that they're almost alone in, you know, Fujitsu, this corporation, in recognizing a moral obligation to put
this right. Well, I suppose they're facing, I mean, they rely on huge contracts, including many contracts that have been awarded since this, and actually, during Rishi Sunak's time as
chancellor. Do you think he might have been lent on a bit?
I don't know, but
might have been inserted.
I mean, the problem is that I don't know about that, but I think it won't be necessary because the government and governments around the world will be very reluctant to have to, you know, blacklist Fujitsu.
Yeah,
which would actually be, if you think about it, the right thing to do.
Yeah, okay. Maybe my impressive reaction.
No, you're right. It was the right thing to say. Yeah. But I think that I would have liked him to have said it in about 2001.
Yeah. All right. Brilliant. Thank you for that question.
Data protection laws allow some data sharing for crime investigation. How much trouble will Fujitsu and the post office face if it's shown the real aim of sharing data was to silence critics? Thank you, Dave in Manchester.
Well, I've got no idea is the answer to that.
I mean, my only idea is that I assume the answer is a lot.
Yeah.
It's the case. I mean, let's generalize out of the specific, which is that, you know, one of the things that came out of the post office scandal was that things that were meant to be confidential weren't, and there was a porousness there that wasn't meant to happen. And I think this is going to be one of the great civil rights issues of the next decade, which is we hand over data all the time without a care in the world. And there is a sort of regulatory legislative framework, but I honestly doubt it's keeping pace with technology.
Well, do you remember the fuss around GDPR?
Yes.
Right. So, and I remember being, you know, I was at the time I was working for a local newspaper company, and we were very serious about making sure we were on the right side of GDPR because, you know, the penalties for not being so were alarming. But also we were very nervous about, you know, well, a lot of people are going to start saying we can't have their data now. But of course, the reality now is that every bloody website you go onto, it says allow all cookies, and you click allow all cookies and move on.
And move on.
We are all blithely granting huge amounts of permissions to data collecting businesses masquerading as news websites.
They call it, in tech world, they call it TNC ignorant, which is terms of condition ignorant. Yeah. We and I do it every day, and I'm sure you do too. You know, every time I go on a website, and if you're working at pace, you don't want to sit around reading DNC at all. But I think we will rue the day that we did all this.
And, I think so,
You know, it is... Everyone talks about it anecdotally, how their social media feeds appear to resemble what they're talking about. I mean, what audibly talking about.
That's right.
Now, what's that all about? So I can't speak specifically to how much trouble Fujitsu and the post office will be in, but I think the issue that Dave raises is going to be of great salience.
There was a great example of, I think it was a Tory MP, I might be wrong. There was certainly an MP who had complained in the Commons about how the level of advertising online had deteriorated, and he was getting bombarded with I think it was adverts for some sort of leather fetish kind of company, until it was explained to him that these are all personalized based on his search history.
Oh, it's a nightmare. Well, I'm turning 56 quite soon, and my Instagram feed is kind of how to get fit when you're 50 old men with 8-packs, you know, just click on this button, you know. And it's very, very, very annoying. But also, at the other side, life insurance, have you put money aside for your funeral? You know, would you like to buy this cardigan? Charming cardigan or slippers? Like, leave me alone. I'm trying to be not ancient.
And we gave them all that info for free.
Just hanged it over.
Just so we could look at cat memes.
Sling it over.
Thank you, Dave. I'm not sure we answered your question brilliantly, but we gave it a best stab. Next question is from Pete via Spotify. And just to mention, you can, if you're listening on Spotify, and you can listen on any platform, but if you are listening on Spotify, you can just ping in a question directly from the page you're looking at. So it's a good feature they've introduced. From Pete, what would happen to the future of UK politics if 200,000 moderate centrists joined the Tory party?
Well, it'd be like an asteroid strike. I mean, it would completely transform the character of the party. They've got about 170,000 members now. They're overwhelmingly pro-Brexit, populist right. They pick the leader. The parliamentary party gives them a shortlist of two. And they're reliably wrong. They chose Ian Duncan Smith over Ken Clark, Boris Johnson over Jeremy Hunt, Liz Truss over Rishi Sunak. Now, you know, Sunak has finally got it and is a disaster too, but Truss was a catastrophe.
Yeah.
So the answer to Pete's question is that you'd basically be inventing a new party, a One Nation party that might, in fact, be, you know, a good opposition to a Labour government.
But we've seen this kind of entryism go spectacularly wrong in the past, haven't we? Like Corbyn and Corbynistas into Labour, militant into Labour, and Labour certainly didn't benefit from that kind of entryism. Wouldn't a better solution be for those 200,000 moderate centrists to try and reinvent the Liberal Party, the Liberal Democrats, or something, effective?
The reason I don't think it's going to happen is because, first of all, the Conservative Party's made it abundantly clear since Boris Johnson's purge in 2009 that it doesn't want these people.
Yeah.
And secondly, because, to be honest, there is a pretty serviceable moderate centrist party called Labour at the moment. Now, it's not perfect, and we've discussed its imperfections often on the pod, but, you know, why would 200,000 people who are prepared to sign up to a party go to the Tories? It would have to be, if it was going to happen, it would have happened under Corbyn.
Yes.
And it didn't.
Yes. Yes. While Labour was unacceptable to the centrists. Labour was sort of
flirting with the left. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It just didn't.
Yeah. Thank you, Pete. Next question, please.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
And it's from Jack Spencer, again via Spotify. Very good.
Great.
Oh, this is a good question. Controversially, can you recommend a centre-right podcast? I listen to The Rest is Politics, The Two Mats, and The News Agents, all I would consider to be left of centre. Is there a right of centre to balance my views? What do you think?
Well, two thoughts occur. One is, I think, if you want a sort of really intelligent mainstream right of centre podcast, Spectator Coffee House Shots is great.
Boo!
Well, I'm just
the opposition. Go on.
The question.
On,
no, no, no. But I mean, they've got a great team there. I would say that's they used to. It. Yeah, I'm very fond of it. But it is actually high quality. And Jack's point about getting a different perspective, they really do deliver that.
Yeah.
The other thing I'd say, which is more controversial, is that I think if you want to really understand what's going on right of centre, you have to go to America, because the ecosphere of right of centre thinking now is not really the UK. It's not UK centric.
Yeah.
It's MAGA. It's America. It's how far MAGA, how not. And I would recommend going to the Daily, just as opposition research, as finding out what's going on. Go to the Daily Wire's podcast. Yeah. Now, you don't have to pay a penny, because it's on most of their podcasts end up on YouTube.
Yeah.
You know, Ben Shapiro, Candace Owens, Matt Walsh. You'll probably, if you're a listener to this podcast, be horrified by what you hear. I would call them DeSantis Republicans rather than Trump Republicans.
Yeah.
But what is useful about those that is that they tell you what is going on in the kind of mulch and the stew of American...
Yeah,
conserved, and they're intelligent. You know, even if you disagree, as I do, radically with them, it's helpful. So that's good. My kind of recommendation.
Well, I was going to say the obvious one, which is a lesson in both kind of slightly right of center politics and podcasting, which is Joe Rogan. I think,
you know,
just as a master of the art form. But the other one, as who is also a master of the art form, but is utterly, you know, reprehensible, is Tucker Carlson.
Oh yeah,
and
Now
on X. And you know, if you want to listen to when we used to go to the States on holiday, I used to love watching the Tucker Carlson show on Fox, because it was so entertaining.
That's the problem.
And that's the problem.
I mean, it's interesting. I mean, this is probably the subject of a whole podcast, but Rogan is fascinating because you're right. I mean, he kind of nestles in that masculine right of center world, and yet he himself
is quite liberal, isn't
is
he?
Yeah. Well, he is. I mean, he's a Bernie Sanders bro, right? There's a complexity going on in American podcastry, which is these people are definitely not Biden Democrats, but they are, but they're it's got something to do with manhood and all of that stuff. It's fascinating.
Yeah.
It's a really interesting
So Jack, there you are. There's a couple of recommendations. Hope that works for you.
Which films will you be rooting for in the Oscar nominations on Tuesday, from Clive Warren in East London? Thank you, Clive.
Well, I really liked Saltburn, I must say.
enjoyable film.
I thought it was great, and I love Barry Keoghan.
It's Murder on the Dance Floor, you know.
It really is, but I mean, I did think it was a terrific kind of old fashioned plot that, you know, it was kind of, you could probably work out where it was going a little bit before the end.
Yeah,
but it was. But I also liked the very last scene.
Oh yes, which has inspired a whole raft of mimics who on TikTok. I've not seen this, but you know they run around their house to Murder on the Dance Floor by
naked.
What's her name? Sophie Ellis-Bextor.
Well, I thought that was a really good. The poor guy who got slaughtered at the Golden Globes. The guy who emceed the Golden Globes.
Oh yes, yeah.
What was his name? Joe.
I can't remember.
Something or other. But he made this gag. He said, "Is Barry Keoghan in the house?" And he was. And he sort of raised his hand and he was sitting towards the back. And he said, where's your penis sitting? Is it sitting up front? It was kind of
like, I mean, fair play to him. I think Barry Keoghan is the most exciting actor around.
He's amazing. He's, yeah.
And we're going to see great things from him. So my choice is, well, anyone who's listened to this podcast will know that I have a complete and probably unhealthy fixation with Oppenheimer. So
yeah,
that's the one, and we'll move on quickly because I don't want to do another Oppenheimer.
An amazing film.
But the other movie I'd mention is Poor Things.
Yes.
By one of my favourite directors, Yorgos Lanthimos, who made Killing of the Sacred Deer and The Lobster.
Another great Barry Keoghan film.
And I think, and it's batshit crazy. It's a sort of steampunk feminist version of Frankenstein is the best way.
Okay.
With Emma Stone in a performance that, I mean, if there's anyone who's going to knock Lily Gladstone out of that spot, it's going to be her. I hope she gets nominated anyway.
Brilliant. Okay, well, there you go.
It's going to be a good Oscars this year.
I think it is. The great quality movies. Has been terrific, hasn't it?
Yeah. No, really good.
Thank you.
Thanks, Clive.
Clive in East London, thanks for that. And if you've got questions for us, please send them in to twomatts@tnepublishing.com. That's twomatts, the number two, M-A-T-T-S. @tnepublishing.com. Don't forget your subscription opportunity to sign up to the New European for less than £1 a week. And that's at www.theneweuropean.co.uk/2mats. Thank you as ever to our production team, Matt Hill at Rethink Audio, assisted by Ollie Peart. And until our regular podcast on Friday,
have a great Sunday.
Have a great Sunday.
Bye.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.